This is tape number 10, starting on scrapbook 6, page 57, and notebook 45, page 30. On page 57, there's an article concerning liquid nightstick. What this was mace, a spray that is sprayed in a suspect's or a person's eyes when making an arrest to overcome resistance. And this tape was this article was designed as a PR type thing and to educate the citizens what type of weapon this was and to reassure them about any possible bad effects from the use thereof. My experience with mace, speaking from an administrator's and supervisor's viewpoint, was that my feedback from the officers was that when the suspect or the arrestee was person to be arrested was so far under the influence of alcohol or drugs or other substances or mentally ill that mace wouldn't have much effect on him in subduing him. They seemed to ignore it and weren't conscious of it or fought right through it in those types of individuals. So it was another tool, but probably not a major one in the arsenal of the average officer on the street. On page 58, 59 in scrapbook 6, there is a copy of a brochure that we had made up as a recruiting information type pamphlet, and also as hopefully a plus as far as getting candidates to apply for the Minneapolis Police Department. Also on page 59 is a picture in a folder of a program that I attended in Poughkeepsie, New York, put on by the IBM company for local government and law enforcement executives. This was designed to inform the people attending about the use of computers and how you could use them in a police department. We were there about a week, and at the expense of IBM, the program was very good. They gave us a kind of a overall view of computers, and while we didn't have any hands-on experience, they did start us into programming and having some idea what was involved in the use of a computer in the police department. It was a very excellent program. The accommodations and the food and that sort of thing were excellent. In scrapbook 6, page 61, 62, 63, and 64 are various articles concerning advocacy for a training facility for training firemen, and also police would be able to use it. An article about a 4-year chief term advised. The chiefs in Minneapolis have always been appointed by the mayor, and this involves the department in politics. And I think one way of partially alleviating the problem would be if a set term was given for a chief to expire in off year from city elections, in order to eliminate as much politics as possible. And these articles are involved in discussing that problem to some extent. On page 65 in scrapbook 6, there's an article about police and firemen seeking college degrees. We had a group of young policemen in the department who were attending college, and we tried to arrange shifts and accommodate their time needs as much as possible, like having them work nights and go to school days, and trying not to interfere with their studies as much as possible. Because I felt at that time that the future of the department and the future leaders of the department would come from this group probably, and it later on proved to be true. On page 66 in scrapbook 6, there is a pamphlet that was put out to give to tourists in the city, those attending conventions in the city and so forth, to give them some idea of what conditions were in the city of Minneapolis, and some parking regulations, information about one-way streets, and other ordinances that a person attending a convention or visiting the city would welcome in order to make their visit more pleasant. In scrapbook 6 on page 65, there is a newspaper article concerning a suspect that was killed with a fight with an officer, and on page 68, the grand jury probe planned in police shooting, and this is one that the grand jury heard and no-billed it. In other words, the officer was exonerated and acted properly in this incident. On scrapbook 6, page 68, 69, 70, are some articles about tension in the schools and so forth, newspaper articles about that, and this is an indication that there still is a lot of tension in the community, and racial tension and other types of problems in the community. In scrapbook 6, page 70 and 71, concerns a ruling by the courts that chief of police can suspend Captain Wilson, and that the courts have no jurisdiction in the actions on the actions of a department head in maintaining discipline in his own department. On page 71, the grand jury there's articles stating that the grand jury expands action, full probe of police ordered. This concerns vice in Minneapolis, and department people, myself, Inspector Dwyer, head of the moral squad, and others testified in front of the grand jury, and my personal feeling was that the city was in as good a condition as it ever has as far as vice. We had been constantly working on it and got it down to where there were a few girls in one bar on Hennepin Avenue and an occasional girl on the streets, but arrests were being made all the time, and it was down about as tight as I had ever seen it in the department history or my time on the department. Chapbook 6, page 71 and 72, there was an incident, there were articles about an incident that happened in the department where we were replacing the training director, replacing Carl Pearson, who had resigned from the department and went over to become the head of the police training board for the state of Minnesota. And a individual, John Voog, who was on a list of about 20 names that I gave to the mayor as a possible successor, and Mayor Nafflin interviewed this group, and Voog was going to be appointed, but we found out that he had bogus credentials stating he was a college graduate, and he actually wasn't. And this was a very embarrassing thing for me as superintendent of police, and also for the mayor. It was a very bad situation. 6, page 72, Lieutenant Edward Wishart was appointed training director, and he will be an excellent one in my opinion. On page 73, there is a pamphlet put out by the police department and compiled by George Bent, who was supervisor of the narcotics squad, giving information about narcotics and designed to be passed out as an information type thing for interested people. In scrapbook 6 on pages 74, 75, and 76 are articles about our actions to try and handle the city's crime and shifting of manpower around to try and give some sections of the Detective Bureau and precincts more manpower to deal with more activity in that particular area, or crime area. In scrapbook 6, pages 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83. These pages contain articles about the department and my request to purchase mace for the men to carry daily on their work shifts. Also, helmets to be worn, the type that could be worn on duty all the time, and then a request to buy some M16 rifles for sniper control. My attendance at Early House with Mayor Naflin and in Virginia gave us information about what the Justice Department expected in various cities around the country, and it seemed to me a wise precaution to be prepared. But a lot of heat developed, particularly concerning the M16 rifles. I attended a meeting in South Minneapolis at a church where the church main floor was filled by at least 250, 300 people, and it was a mixed racial crowd, and the crowd was very vehemently opposed to the purchase of the M16s. I was in front of this group answering questions and talking about the subject and crime generally for probably an hour and a half. And I don't know if I changed anybody's mind. In fact, I'm almost positive that I didn't. And but it was a good meeting from the point of view that it gave everybody a chance to voice their opinions and to ventilate a little bit about their feelings on the new equipment for the police department. On page 76 and page 79, there are a couple articles, one about a bomb being tossed at a Negro's home in northeast Minneapolis. This was an unusual occurrence. Northeast Minneapolis was comparatively quiet, and there was very little racial activity or racial hatred up there, in my opinion, though it was almost 100% white. And there was probably some far out individuals who wanted to persuade the one black person in that area to move, and that was the reason for the bomb being tossed at the party's house. There also on page 79 was a protest in the mayor's office. They sat in there and protesting an arrest made by the university police department. And they were in the wrong location. They should have been talking to Chief Hanscom of the university police department, or the university's president, Malcolm Moose, because it was their separate police department who had jurisdiction over there and made the arrest. In scrapbook 6 on pages 79, 80, and 81, there are articles concerning the grand jury report on vice conditions and crime conditions in the city of Minneapolis, and the situation brought to the public's attention by Eugene Wilson, and it was a good report, and they made several recommendations concerning a four-year term for the chief, and recommended that some legislation be recommended to reduce the number of handguns being carried. And they recommended also that the police public school liaison program be expanded. That we felt was a good program, and we go along with that 100%, as we do with the other recommendations. They also recommended that we take positive immediate steps to try and prevent disturbances anticipated in the coming summer. The grand jury was also concerned with the unfortunate results of the recent announcement of the purchase of M16 rifles, mace, and the helmets to be purchased by the police department. But they didn't make any specific recommendations, except that they were concerned because of all the protests, apparently, made by citizens of Minneapolis. In scrapbook 6, on page 83, there was an article about squad car ride-along program, and Alderman Donald Risk protesting the ride-alongs, we found that after a person rides along in a squad car and sees what's going on in our city and the problems that the officers face daily, that they become police boosters almost 100%. And we find it a very effective program. Donald Risk was probably politically motivated because he wasn't exactly a friend of Mayor Nathland, and though in the same party. And he used the excuse of the risks and possible lawsuits if any a ride-along person was injured. We took a lot of precautions to make sure that this didn't happen, and the ride-along officers were ordered not to go on or calls themselves, but after a call was given to another squad, to follow in cautiously and allow the ride-along people to observe what was going on and what the officers were doing and give them an explanation of what was happening. And this was a very effective program, in my opinion. In Scrapbook 6, page 87, there's an article concerning Detective Thomas J. Whalen, an accommodation that I issued to him on the basis of a report by Deputy Inspector Klein for Whalen's outstanding act of courage. There was a mental case barricaded in a home, and Tom Whalen talked to him on the phone, and finally the mental case allowed Whalen and a friend of his to come in the house if Whalen would leave his revolver outside, and Whalen did so and courageously went in the house with the mental case's friend and talked to him. The friend left after a little while, and Whalen stayed there for about an hour and a half talking to the man, who was armed, and persuaded him to go to the hospital for treatment. An excellent piece of police work, in my opinion. The agitation and what have you concerning ride-alongs continues on pages and on page 88. And 89, there's some letters and concerning my appearances in front of different groups and also fellowship service that I attended representing the city and made a few remarks of greetings. That was on page 89. On page 90 and 91, there was a threat to dynamite the home of Charles Stenvig. He's the outspoken president of the Minneapolis Police Officers Federation. And Charlie received this threat, and he was protected for a while until that blew over. Usually those types of threats never amount to anything because usually it's some deranged person who sends the threats and probably most of the time are incapable of following through and doing anything. On pages 92, 93, and 94, 95, articles continue about the M16 rifles, and Nafflin finally ordering the police department to return the M16 rifles. Politics continued about the possible tenure for police chief. Arnie Carlson and Mayor Nafflin continued their political battles on that subject and others. Also on page continuation of scrapbook 6 on page 95, there's a copy of a letter that was sent to me that somebody mailed to Mayor Nafflin, and also a copy of a cartoon that appeared in the Minnesota Daily concerning the AR-16 rifles. And on page 97, there is a sympathy card that says, "No words can adequately express the deep and heartfelt sympathy this message brings," and then typed and unsigned on the opposite page of the card is, "Regarding your sincere efforts to police our city under his honor, the gutless wonder," again referring to Mayor Nafflin. Also on page 96, there's a copy of the special message to the city council given by Mayor Nafflin on March 29th, 1968. This was the message to the city council given each year. Also on page 96 and 97 in scrapbook 6 are some articles about a police policy study group that Nafflin appointed and wanting to study the police department and see if we could improve relations with the public and racial minorities. On pages 98, there is an article concerning a proposal I made in response to some agitation on politics, and I proposed to have one single police force for the whole county, and stated that much savings could be made by the consolidation of various departments, elimination of some police chief jobs, pooling expensive equipment, consolidation of city and county jails, and uniform training for all the officers, and a number of suggestions like this, and this was in response, as I remember, to some report or proposal made by Sheriff Omont. This was my response to that. Scrapbook 6, pages 101, 102, 103, 104, 104, are articles concerning a student march from the University of Minnesota down to City Hall, during which it was on Martin Luther King's birthday, and during which this march stopped at various intersections and knelt for a moment of silence at each intersection. And then when they reached City Hall, well, Mayor Naftalin talked to them, and as the speeches went on, the crowd diminished, and it all ended peacefully, though it caused some disruption of traffic and other problems for some of the citizens. In Scrapbook 6, on pages 104, 105, 106, are articles about a organization of citizens in up on the north side to patrol the area. It would be named the Citizen Patrol Corps, and it was designed to be eyes and ears of the police department. They wouldn't make arrests and that kind of thing. Some of that was brought on by three Golden Valley policemen who were on the way home from downtown Minneapolis after visiting bars down there, and they stopped on Plymouth Avenue and said that they were robbed of some money, and then three women accused the Golden Valley police of molesting them or making unwanted advances toward them, and so that was the basis of the incident up there. It was investigated, and eventually we didn't have enough evidence to charge anybody, and the thing was more or less forgotten about. In Scrapbook 6, page 108, there's articles concerning the fact that we bought five new pump action rifles, and they were assigned to the flying squad, and the flying squad was given some training up at in Little Falls at the Army base up there, to have the officers become familiar with them and practice some in their use. Also, there's articles there about my request for three helicopters to be used is for surveillance, arrests, and aiding in the apprehension of suspects both day and night. The Hughes Tool Company, which Makes the Hughes helicopter had given a demonstration a month previous to this request, and I was very impressed with their use, and took several rides in them, and they demonstrate how efficient they could follow cars and suspects through the city, hovering above the cars or suspects as they tried to escape. On page 110, and also on page 108, there's an article about Bruce Lindbergh being named to head a police community relations unit in the department. This was another one of the things that we tried to better relations with the citizens, and particularly better racial relations in the city. On page 111, there's an article about patrolman saving the life of a five-year-old child, and this was the type of thing that that happens often in the police department and hardly ever gets recognized because it's just a part of the job, and but this particular time it received some publicity. On page 113 in scrapbook 6, there's a picture of an article about a new piece of equipment the department was going to purchase. It's called the Multiple Image Maker and Identification Compositor. And this was a piece of equipment that by twisting various dials, different head shapes, hairstyles, noses, glasses, eyes, chin shapes, cheek shapes, and that kind of thing can be brought up on the screen in order to get a likeness of a suspect in a particular crime where the suspect has been seen by witnesses. In the past, artists have been used to try and draw a composite picture of a suspect by talking to witnesses, and some cases this has been fairly successful, and others it isn't very effective. And this new piece of equipment might be an improvement, and to our advantage, it wasn't that expensive, though I don't recall at this late date what the price was, but I know it wasn't a large amount of money. On page 114, 115, 116, and 117 are newspaper articles concerning the night parade of the Minneapolis Aquatennial and the problems that could possibly occur where a large number of people are concentrated viewing something like this. There also were some letters written by various witnesses to the parade and praising our handling of the parade, and particularly at the dispersal area where the chances of problems developing are fairly evident because of the large number of people concentrated in a small area there at the breakup of the parade. On page 117, 118, 119, are articles concerning, on one page 120 also, 121, concerning a incident, minor traffic accident where a black woman was arrested by the officers and handcuffed and taken down to the city jail. The handcuffing, of course, was because of my policy of all prisoners going into a squad car should be handcuffed, brought on by incidents where prisoners had tried to escape and fought with officers, and in one case gaining the officer's personal weapon and forcing them to drive out to the Mendota Bridge area, where eventually the incident was terminated without anybody getting hurt. This arrest caused a lot of heat and protests and what have you, and eventually resulted in amending the handcuff order so that I said effective immediately in cases where it is obvious that no threat or of physical of injury exists because of age, physical condition, or other reason, the arresting officers may exercise their own discretion whether to handcuff any prisoner. And this was as a result of that arrest of the woman and the protests and what have you. Everything seems to result in protests and action groups of various kinds trying to make their viewpoint known and to force changes in procedures and other matters. Page 122 in scrapbook 6, some articles about the helmets and their use, and we required the wearing of helmets during the summer because of possible civil disturbances. But then when fall came, they went back into caps again. We ordered regular headgear on October 1st. On page 124, there's an article concerning the retirement of Donald A. Nelson from our department. He was a deputy inspector and had done a good job for us for many, many years. He was also state pistol champion. He was an excellent marksman with a pistol. He retired to go to work for the Wackenhut Corporation at Coral Gables, Florida. This was a firm specializing in protective investigative service for business and industry. And we're going to miss him. He later, he was very active in the Masonic order and was a Shriner, and he later became the potentate of the shrine in a number of years later. On page 124 and 125, there's a brochure from the Chiefs Conference in Honolulu, Hawaii, and an article about it also. Mary and I attended, and then I took a week's vacation with this and took a tour of all the islands. It was a very nice vacation, and it was an excellent vacation. Scrapbook 6, page 125, 126, 127, and are numerous articles about changes being made in the department to try and get more patrolmen on the street and to try and improve our performance and to hold crime down in the city. We on page 129, 130, 131, and 132 concerns the George C. Wallace presidential candidate's Minneapolis appearance at the Minneapolis City Auditorium. We had made plans and had numerous officers at the auditorium, and we had the outside doors locked because it was a by invitation only crowd in there, but some blacks managed to get in one of the doors and got into the auditorium and started heckling Wallace and made it so untenable that he had to stop his speech, and then we tried to get the blacks out of the auditorium and were unable to do so, and the fight broke out, officers involved, and it was very tense time. I was backstage trying to call for some reinforcements, and before they arrived, the thing was all over. Starting scrapbook 7, pages 1, 2, 3, And four was additional articles on the George Wallace disorder at the Minneapolis Auditorium and the comments from various political figures and what have you. Again, the thing, reaction was along political lines, some criticizing police, some criticizing blacks, and also on pages 2, 3, 4, and 5, additional articles about disturbances after the fireworks at Powderhorn Park on July 4th, and results of trials of people involved in the George Wallace thing at the Minneapolis Auditorium. This was a continuation of tension and assaults and disturbances concerning race relations, civil rights, and other matters. Scrapbook 7 on page 6, there was some articles on double parking on 3rd Avenue side of City Hall or Courthouse. The squads, uniform squads and detectives had double parked there while running into City Hall and Police Headquarters on various errands and other matters and for roll calls, and squads relieved one another there. Again, this got involved in politics, and eventually an ultimatum was issued by the council, and I forbid doubling up on parking on the 3rd Avenue side of City Hall. On page 7, Cohen proposed a permit to carry a handgun, an ordinance, and I supported this, Naflin did, Charlie Stenvig, head of the Police Federation, also did, and we had had an alarming increase in the numbers of guns being used and carried by participants in various incidents around the city and homicides. And I thought this would be a good ordinance, and but nothing came of it. In scrapbook 7, pages 6, 7, 8 was articles concerning consolidation of Minneapolis and the city and county jails, both located on the fifth floor of the courthouse, and turning over of the city workhouse to Hennepin County. The city workhouse was located out at Parker's Lake, out in the county, in the village of Plymouth. The consolidation of city and county jails eventually occurred, as did the turning over of the city workhouse to Hennepin County. 7, page 6 and 8, there are articles and story about city officer kills youth after a police chase. I made comment about it and stating it is regrettable that a young man's life was taken, but the initiative was in the hands of the driver. At any time he had pulled over, the problem would have ended. The shooting was accidental, apparently, as the officer stumbled over a piece of debris at the end of the chase where an accident had occurred. The car being chased had hit other cars, and the officer trying to prevent a fall, the gun discharged as he tried to catch himself, killing an occupant of the car. A very regrettable incident, but accidental in my opinion. Book 7, page 8, there are some articles about agitation and suggestions that additional pay incentive could be given to officers who were college graduates or those that had completed 2 years of college. A good suggestion in my opinion, but it never came about to my knowledge. Book 7, pages 12, 13, 14, are articles concerning a threat by the Minneapolis Police Federation to stage a work stoppage or a work slowdown, and the resulting comments by various people about it, and some planning done by myself and others to call in the National Guard if necessary, and the mayor involved in the thinking also. It never occurred, so there was nothing to the threat.